The Grow My Cleaning Company podcast helps owners of cleaning companies just like you to grow your company and yourself so you can make more money and finally get the time and money freedom that probably got you into this business. Discover how to automate and create systems that allow you to grow like crazy without losing control. If you dig the show and want to show some love, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes. It really helps. Enjoy the show.
And what I really want to hear about is we're covering tons of jobs with less stress, and my schedule and your schedule's up and coming. Tell me about all that.
Yeah. So, I mean, I feel like her first week doing scheduling was kind of rough. The Airbnbs that we still have kind of running the show are, they just can get a little chaotic. Like, hey, by the way, the guests aren't leaving until noon. And we're like, well, it's 10 a.m. and we're here as scheduled. And now what the heck, you know? So there's a lot of really annoying moving pieces that I had to help her with a lot. So that was, you know what I mean? That stuff like that, there was a little bit of chaos.
For everybody, including my friend Kayla, darling, we teach you guys effectively how to run your whole business over Zoom. And we do the live events, but they're great. You just, you know, when you train your person, do it over Zoom, record it. And then when you hire the next scheduler, they have to watch those recordings and you might edit them down. So they're not like 7 hours of just blah, but it really should only take 2 or 3 sessions per day. You know, every day you might be on for 0 to 20 minutes to help them sort out whatever. Just mark the ones that you're like, oh, this is a really good, you know, if it's like, hey, Marie, how's it going? Everything's fine. Nothing's fine. Okay. I'm not going to use that for training, but say we do 10 trainings together, Monday through Friday times 2 weeks. 4 or 5 of them are like, oh, this is when shit got real. When everything went to bed, I'm going to mark those. And then the next trainer, before I even start them, they have to go through those training.
Yeah. And watch.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we have some Zoom stuff.
Onboarding becomes almost nothing. Then it's just like, I'll do it with you. Watch the trainings now, as opposed to doing it for 10 days and making that the training, you do it for 2 days, maybe 3. And then they just call you if they have trouble.
Yeah. We have to do a little bit more. So I can make more of those.
Well, the cool thing is you're not even making them. So I hate doing extra work, but that's why we record these and we put them on, you know, like we have this whole thing of extra. So as you're training her, just record it. So you don't have to be like, all right, we're going to make a training. Let's do it fake. Like these, whoever's listening to the recording, I'm not like, oh shit, we got to edit it. We got to do this. Like
the training. Act nice, guys.
Everyone be cool. Pretend like we're learning things. Just like your zero to trainer in 30 days, you train the first people once and then they duplicate it. You're going to do the same thing with your admin. You train them once, you keep it on. And by the way, now you have two things. If you have a scheduler that doesn't just leave you high and dry, they'll teach the next scheduler and you'll have the videos as well. So you're completely out of it. But the videos are like, if your scheduler's like, screw you, a-hole, I'm leaving, no notice. Now you've got the videos in you as opposed to nothing. But when you start thin slicing, you have 2 or 3 people. Now you're still good because they all know how to do all the jobs, even though they only do one. So you get the videos, you get the person doing the job, and then you get 2 or 3 other people that know how to do that job. And you're like way down at the end and you never have to dive in.
Well, and that's what I found last week is like, well, I felt like I wasn't at the end. So just like introducing a new person scheduling, I felt like if her name's Tisha, the new scheduler, if she missed a call or if she was calling a cleaner, like we kept having them not, like the cleaners weren't answering her, even though I was like, hey guys, Tisha's the new scheduler, like answer her. They, you know, they'd reach out to me and be like, call Tisha, that's scheduling, call her now, you know, or like Slack her.
Or even better, ignore them when they call you.
Yeah. Well, then there are a couple balls that got dropped when I was not even looking at my phone. I was like, what? So,
well, this is perfect for Danny, who is, I don't know if you're on with that, but Danielle was like, hey, how do I stop? She's like, oh, let me turn my camera. I'm in. This is exactly what you were talking about, Danielle. She's like, how do I only check my Slack, my phone, however people message you, DM, whatever, text, whatever. And they shouldn't be texting you or calling you, but how do I check that once a day? Just ignore them. And if a ball gets dropped, A, that's okay, right? If the cost for you to be free forever and work 0 to 10 hours a week or 0 to 5 hours a week is something gets screwed up 3 times over the span of a month while you're making this transition, fine. Even, I mean, you don't want to lose a client, but if that's a cost of your freedom, fine. That said, the core values-based people should be doing their job. So if I'm a cleaner and I'm like, I called Kayla, who I wasn't supposed to call, and she didn't pick up. So I just threw all my crap on the ground and walked out. Well, that's a cleaner. That has nothing to do with you not picking up the phone. They need to be fired. A good cleaner is like, I called the scheduler. The system should be handling all of this stuff. So there should be, because all that happens when they call you is you go through a yes, no matrix and if then situation in your head. Well, this guy needs this, so that doesn't happen. So write that freaking down, train somebody else and have them handle it. Like we think it's this magic thing, especially you, because you're like, oh, my business is different because I've got property managers. So I promise you, everything you do is just an if then matrix. They ask this, if this happens, you do that. If that happens, you do that. You just have to get that out of your head onto someone else's brain or even on a video and then say, figure it out. And by the way, if their core values match people, like give me a ball that got dropped and we will solve how it should have worked without Kayla Darling picking up the phone.
Yeah. So the scheduler, so someone called out, they're like, hey, I'm nauseous. It's Sunday.
How are they supposed to call out and how did they call out? What's the system for calling out?
They contacted the scheduler and they were like,
well, hey, what's the system? Are they supposed to call?
Oh yeah. They slacked her and then they also called her.
So they called out, go ahead.
Yeah. And so she looked at our scheduling information and she misread something because we have some addresses that are similar and moved the job. She thought it wasn't a check-in. So she moved the job to the next day.
Is that a mistake you would have made?
Not
that exact one, but if she did one in 100. Okay. So it was sloppier than you would have done.
Yeah.
Okay, so then you have to have a standard. So the answer isn't call Kayla. The answer is here's the standard of how many mistakes we tolerate in a given week or month. If you're not able to meet that standard, you cannot keep this job.
Okay. Yeah. Cause then I ended up seeing that it was a check-in and we had like an hour until and no one was going. The other cleaners were like,
even if the thing got dropped, you shouldn't have checked it. You should have nothing. Someone should have called rip shit. And then you fire the cleaner or fire the schedule or go, hey, this is your one freebie girl. You don't get another one. Like you got to hold people accountable to their job. So if I'm like, Marie, do your job, but I'm going to check in and mother hen you. And if anything goes wrong, I'm going to catch you. I don't do that. Marie, do your job. Are you a professional or not? You are? Good. Go get them. If you fuck up, sorry, my language, you got to go.
Yeah, I totally mother him. That happened twice last week.
I'm not going to pay you to have me watch you do the work, either for you to watch me do your job or me to watch you do your job. The pay is so I don't have to watch anything. So either you do it and you get paid or you don't do it and I got to get someone else that's willing to do it. But at no point will I pay you to, the whole thing I'm paying you is to take the stress off my head, my plate. If I still have stress of holding your hand, then I'm holding the wrong hand.
Yeah.
It's just standards. Like if they do like Lindsay, she's been with me a year. She screws up all the time, but not very big, never where it affects you guys. And if so, it'd be once a year because she's done so many good. And I'm like, I would have screwed up twice in a year. So that's why I asked, what have you made this mistake? And you're like, no, never. So we can't go for perfection, but I would just tell her. So we just need a standard. Hey, I'm not going to check anything. Zero jobs cannot get cleaned ever, or one a month, or one in your first 3 months, one in your first month, and then no more than one a quarter, whatever standard you want to set, you set. And if they keep it, they keep it. And if not, you put someone in the job that can. But you're going like, I'm the only one that can ever. No, there's a million people that can do that job that would kill to do that job that will make less mistakes than you. You're just tolerating a low standard. And again, the more I hold Marie's hand and tell her it's okay, I'll give you a perfect example. I was getting my pilot's license. I still remember the first time I soloed, which is a big deal because you got to get signed off and you're on the plane alone. Yeah. I remember being at, you know, I don't know, what is it, 5,000-6,000 feet going in to final landing. And I'm like, holy shit, if I don't land this plane, no one's going, I'm going to die. Like it didn't occur to me at that point. Like if I screw up this landing, there's always been a guy next to me. If I screwed up, it's like, oh, that's okay. He'll make sure we all live. It was just me. I'm like, holy shit.
So that's awful.
It was terrifying.
But it's good. But
I can assure you the plane had my entire focus. Like I wasn't half-assing this thing. So until the guy got out of the right seat for me, I couldn't have that moment and I couldn't be a pilot. So you got to get out of the right seat. As long as you're in that right seat, he'd always help me. And I'd landed 100 times before. It was no big deal, but he was always there. And I knew I had that until he wasn't there. And I'm like, holy shit, if this plane's going to land, I'm going to land it. That was a different gig. So you got to get out of the right seat. And if I crash, I crash. You don't give me my pilot's license. You stop giving me a plane, but you can't stay in the right seat forever. Or else then what do you need me? Why don't you just fly the plane?
Hey, new friend, love that you are here. If you want more Cleaning Nation, more us, you can check us out on YouTube. Similar content, you just get to see each other. It's totally free. Or if you want to say, hey, hit us up on Instagram, Twitter, join our free Facebook group. We love hearing from you, Cleaning Nation. That's what makes it magic. Jump on, we'll see you there.
The first one is on you. If you haven't already set the standard.
Yeah.
So if you had a standard in your mind that you didn't communicate and she violated the one you had in your mind, that's a Kayla problem. So I'm going to own that. So if you told her, this is the job, this is why it's important, here's the tolerance, and she violated it, that's on her side of the road. If you had this standard, if you hadn't even thought through the standard, you certainly hadn't communicated it and she violated, in retrospect, you're like, oh shit, that was bad. I'm going to own that. Hey, Kayla, my fault. I wasn't really clear with you. I hadn't thought through until something went wrong. The stakes. I've now thought this through. So here's the two things. One, I'm not going to be watching this. If you don't land the plane, it crashes. There's no one backing you up. So if it doesn't get cleaned, it doesn't get cleaned. Someone's going to get pissed. We're going to break our word, whatever. I got to be honest with you. I've done this for, you tell her the truth, however many years, and we've never missed, or just give her your stats. I've done this for 5 years. We've never missed a cleaning, or 5 years. I've missed one, or whatever the truth is. Yeah. That's the standard. So first one's on me. I wasn't clear on how important it was. And I was backing you up. So you knew I was checking, so you could afford to be a little sloppy, but Kayla, I screwed that one up, but now we're drawing a line. Going forward, we can have zero mistakes. And I don't mean zero mistakes, but zero cleanings being missed. You can screw up, but by God, you can't miss a clean. If you do, I got to fire you. Because you have one job, it's a schedule. And you're like, Well, I can't have you schedule 90% or 98%. It's got to be 100. I've been doing this 5 years. I've literally missed it zero times. And you're just as smart as I am. And I was running the whole company doing this in my spare time. This is all I've got you doing. So any tools you need to make sure that you'll never miss a thing. And then that tool can be right now and here. I'll meet with you once a week, or I'll do whatever you need. But that tool is not slacking me or calling me. You got to figure this thing out. Because if you slack me or call me, I'll just do it myself. Is that a conversation? So you see how I'm owning my part, which I screwed up at the beginning, but I'm drawing a clear delineation of I wasn't clear before. I'm being very clear right now.
Okay. Yeah. And thank you for walking me through that. Cause I think that's something that I need to improve in my whole business. Like I'm good with it with cleaners now, but you know, the other stuff that's in my head, not so much. So
yeah. And the cool thing is with the right person, you won't typically have to have that conversation. And if you do, they want to get better, right? So if someone talked to me that way and I'd said I'd do a job and I really effed up on the job, I'd be like, you are so right. I might ask for help. Hey, I need this, or I didn't have enough support, or I might tell you the tools or support I need to do an effective job. And you can say, I'm willing to give that or I'm not. And that's up to you. But if I start getting, it's not my fault. You didn't give me the truth. Now I know who I'm dealing with. That is not someone I'm willing to coach at all. You know what I'm saying? Like with all of you guys, and it's different because you pay me, but you're paying them, right? So if they get lippy, I'm like, hey man, I'm not going to pay you anymore. Like, so the reason you guys get value is because you listen, right? My coaching is only as good as your coachability. And if you keep fighting with me at some point, I'm like, I'm not going to fight. Do what you want. Same with them. You're like, hey, I'm going to coach you and encourage you as long as they're taking, oh, thank you, Kayla. I needed that. How can I don't want to miss. What's a good backup? If I have that's the attitude you want. It's not my fault. The freaking Marie screwed up. She didn't call me until that kind of attitudes. You're like, oh, you're the wrong person.
Yeah.
So how they respond to that conversation is really indicative of who you're working with. And that curiosity and how can I get better, that attitude and energy is what we want. External, not my fault. This guy, it's everyone's fault but mine. That's poison. That is an insta fire for me. Not because I hate them or I'm mad. It's just they're going to pollute your whole freaking.
Yeah. Their concern is them if they're acting that way.
Yeah. It's just that's, and again, that's a core value, right? It's never my fault. It's always everybody's fault. I'm entitled. Given enough time and energy, you can coach someone through that, but it is so hard. And for this little easy job, this is $300 a month, man. Just freaking figure it out.
But is, yeah, because with, I mean, I don't know. Because so there's the question? So much up and down. Thank you. There's so much up and down with the schedule because it's short-term rentals. Is $300 a month enough?
How long do you think it takes her per week?
I think just to do the schedule, I think it's like 15 minutes a day to look at everything. But then it depends on if someone can't make it, then we're like.
Average 3 hours,
an hour.
10 hours, 1 hour. Yeah, I get it. Because some days it's nothing or 10 minutes and some days it's an hour. But that's why I said per week. Like, is it 5 hours a week, an hour a day?
Probably 10 hours a week.
That seems insane. How many employees do you have?
I think it's 12 hours a week. I think it's still 10. I mean, we have like.
There's no universe. It should take an hour per week for every single employee. So let's say 10 hours, but that seems.
I think it bumps it up because you have to like ask the property manager if there's a check-in. You have to confirm we can, you know, they're like, hey, the homeowner wants us to be there at, you know, noon.
This is, if it's really 10 hours a week, that's 43 hours. Now we're talking like somewhere between probably 500 and 1,000. If they're American, you can get Filipinos or other across the country for much less. But if it's American, now we're talking $500 or $1,000. But if it's that big of a headache, I'm building that in my cost of goods sold. If I've got a handhold and I was told to be here at 10 and now I've got to wait and I've got, that's going to be a 40% cost of goods sold. I'm building that the heck into my price. Just 40% cost of goods sold.
Make them at 40%. Okay. Yeah. Cause it's a lot of headaches.
I don't even want these clients. So the cool thing with cause these aren't your regular bread and butter that make a lot of money. Like you said, it is so expensive to double and half in revenue. Like, they're, just like I was talking with Marie, the cost of cars is not the physical payment and insurance, although it's the headache and focus, and it just takes your time off. It's almost hard to calculate the big pain in the assery that is. And it's not just the headache. It's the, well, if I'm doing this, I only have so much mental and physical energy and focus and passion. If 80% of it's here, I only have 20%. And the working on my business that doesn't get done, that's the expensive part. Yours is 5X cars. The fact that you're dealing with these customers and all this stuff, it's like you almost can't charge enough. So again, my thing would be, let's get rid of them. Let's just replace those with better clients. But at the minimum, let's at least have a 40% cost of goods sold. And if that still doesn't work, I'll keep 35, 30 until they're like, I can't pay this. Great. I don't want to be in this business anyway. But there's just a big difference between come to my house to do the same house, the same clean every other week. It's on the schedule. Just come and go. That's a 40, 50, you know, that's a 40, you know, I like the 45% cost of goods sold. But if it's bespoke, I'd call you jump, just like I talked about with a floater, right? You might say, hey, we pay 18 bucks an hour for the floater. By God, when I call, you come 100% of the time and I'll call. You don't know if I'm going to call 10 times or no time. That pays 30 bucks an hour. Yeah. Same thing with your client. If they're like, we're going to call last minute, you need to jump. Great. Here's the price. I'm not doing that. Then don't piss off. It's a big difference. It is an economy of scale different of have everybody ready to jump. It's like, we can do that. It costs money.
Yeah, I think that there's one property management client, if I raise them, I think that they're at 50% cost of goods sold now for the most part, 50 to 45. But yeah, I think if I raise, then they'll probably drop like 10 right. properties, which See is you. Just
be right. I'm fine with it. Well, I think because the other way you can do it is, and just like, I don't know if you were on when Robert and Vanessa were talking, they got rid of some lower clients and their gross profit went up and like, holy shit, we see all this, these holes in our schedule. And it's so funny when you're used to this kind of path of work, you've got an emotional block and it's hard to grow past that. But when you're used to this and you take out a little chunk, almost magically they refill because you've got an emotional set point that you're comfortable with and you attract that. So I'm okay if we take a chunk out that's shitty. And then ideally, we leave the chunk in and we just make them profitable and everything's great. But if we take it out, maybe it's 20 days, maybe it's 45. I can't imagine it's going to be 60. You're back up. So it's like, all right, I made a little less money for a month or two, but now my entire company is healthier till the end of time. So worth it. The other way you can do it, which I would not do, is okay, when we're here at 10 and you're like, leave and come back at noon, that's $100 charge. I have to pay my people. Like that's, and they're going to freak out and go, I'm not paying that. So as opposed to doing that, I'm just going to go, you can keep the rate that we have now, but we show up when we show up, there's none of this shit. You're paying for this. You would, if you'd like this bespoke chippity chop, bippity bop, we're here for you. That's this price. Okay. Oh, we think we can do better elsewhere. God bless you. Good luck with that.
Yeah.
It's either going to be an owner who's like their life is ruined and they're just waiting and that's not the business that you want to be in, or the other owner's going to have the same problem you're having. So they're like, I want a Mercedes, but I want to pay for a Honda. That don't work. Either you get the Honda or you pay for the Mercedes. I'm going to go try and find someone else that will sell me a Mercedes for Honda money. Good luck. Best of luck to you.
Yeah.
I'm not that lady.
Yeah. I don't want to be that lady. That lady's crazy. It's stressful.
They're making her crazy. At least get paid. If they're going to make you nuts, at least make some money off it.
Well, here we are at the end of the podcast and you made it. Great job. I've got a little bonus for you before for sticking through with me. But like I mentioned before, if you got value out of this podcast and you want to show a little love, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes, Spotify, wherever the heck you're listening to this thing. Share it with a friend. Share the love. And as a special thank you for those of you that stuck with me to the end, how about I give you my personal phone number so we can text? It's a great way for me to get to know you, your business, your goals personally. So shoot me a text now, 602-932-6431. 602-932-6431. I am the only one who responds to these texts, and I will personally respond to everyone I possibly can as long as this number is manned. Don't know how long we're going to keep this at the end of the podcast, so grab it now, 602-932-6431. Give me a text, say hey, can't wait to meet you.